upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, down on my knees, till in your own good time, you answer my pleas. Teach me, Lord, to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me to humble my pride and to call only on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes only on you. Help me beyond this earth what you want. They that wait upon him, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait, wait to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall cannot faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait.
Surely around here.
Surely around here. Lord comes down. Surely around here, the door to heaven is found.
And
we know we are standing on holy ground. He is his own. Surely around you. Surely around here, the door to heaven is found.
And
we know we are standing on holy ground. He is his ruler. Surely around here,
surely around here,
the door to heaven is found.
And we
just a little on holy ground.
You musicians, technicians back there, God bless you richly. We are standing on holy grounds. Amen. And we surely know that He is here. That's why you have come to fellowship and to commune with Him. And we believe that meeting Him is the best thing that we can do in our lives. And we will go from here with the evidence that we have met Him. Because when you go to see the, you know, big, powerful people of this world, you get there with an evidence. And people, when they've met, I don't know, Vladimir Putin or Barack Obama, they want a photograph to immortalize the event. And 20 years later, they'll be showing the picture. You see, I've met the Queen of England. I've met Barack Obama. But we are meeting the King of Kings. And it's an event that we should be really looking forward to during the week. Whenever we are coming, we need to make ready to prepare because we'll be standing on holy ground. Please come in, sister. We are standing on holy grounds. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for granting us another privilege and worthy people to stand in the presence of the Holy God. Heavenly Father, we are standing here believing that when we depart from this building, your holiness will fill our hearts, O Lord. You'll feed us and we'll feel that we have made a step further to looking like you, O Lord. Bless the preaching of the word. We came with our needs, we came with our burdens. Fulfill and accomplish everything that's bothering us in our hearts, O Lord, because we are your children, and you said, come to me, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, O Lord. And the rest is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, O Lord, so that nothing will hinder you, us, from being in full communion with you. Bless now the preaching of the word. Bless our fellowship. Bless Brother Andrew down there in Limerick. We believe it was a blessing yesterday in Carlo, and we'll hear good testimonies. Let it be a spark that will start a new fire in those dark areas, O Lord. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11, our familiar scripture. Verse 27-30. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and that of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You may be seated. God bless you. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for being in the house of the Lord, driving from very far places. God really reward you for your sacrifice. So today we'll try to wrap up this teaching, to close it, because I think what the Lord wanted to be said to the church has been said. And we can see that you are really responding to the word of the Lord. You are responding to the warning of the Spirit, because these things have not been said to hurt someone, but it was the Holy Spirit trying to bring us back in the right alignment with the divine order. Remember, Pastor preached a few weeks ago, the divine order of worship. And worship, when you come to worship, you need to make sure that you discern what you are doing. Because, as we said, it's the discernment that makes the thing right or wrong. You may do the right thing, but with wrong discernment, and it wouldn't be a blessing for you. So last week, we were talking about the attitude in the presence of God, in the presence of the manifestation of the Spirit. So we were just drawing attention, especially not only young people, but everyone. We need to be reverent in the presence of the Lord. The prophet was showing those children who were playing in the presence of God, who were insulting and saying things and making fun of the Holy Communion and going and buying sandwiches and whiskeys and celebrating their communion in the hotel room, and what happened to them. So just be very careful. There's a quote I didn't read last week. I want to read it to close up that chapter. I've seen young people sit in the meeting and snicker and laugh in a meeting, and less than 24 hours be crushed into the streets. I've seen young people sit in a meeting in 1 year when I was in a place, and next, maybe within 6 months, go back to the same place, and practically every one of them was gone or laying stricken somewhere with disease and things. That's right. You have to respect it. Amen. When you enter church, brother, sister, just try to forget about your mobile phone. We have seen people chatting when they're sitting there. WhatsApp, Facebook, Messenger. Be respectful. The deacon may not see you, but God sees you. Switch off your phone, please. Turn it off for a while. We are here maybe just for 1, 2, 3 hours max. Switch off your phone. Even if it is, I don't know how much important it is, but when you are sitting here, just forget about these things. Your tablet, Googling, and this and that. Your motives may be right, but God may not like the thing. Amen. Just be reverent. When we are sitting here, you know, God needs your full attention. And give him your full attention. Forget, you know, this message, you'll reply. You'll answer them when you go out there. You'll have all the time. You know, there's some functions in church that needs their phone on. Amen? Because someone will be sitting there and say, Brother Wilmo is using his phone in the church. Amen? Brother David is on his phone. No, that's a requirement of his position. Amen? Someone may be stuck somewhere, he needs help here. Someone may be, he may need an urgent prayer. He's a deacon, he's the pastor. He needs his phone on all the time to watch, to check, because it's a requirement for the position he's fulfilling in church. But please, let's be reverent. Today, we want to address two things. First of all, how we dress when we come to meet God. Because it's part of discerning the body of the Lord. It's the discernment you have of what you do. Look yourself when you go for a job interview. Do you dress anyhow? We don't dress anyhow when we go for a job interview, when we have to go to meet someone important. You give it even a week trying to find what clothes to put on, how to dress to match the circumstances, how to dress to show respect to what you are going to do. Because first impression, you know it, everyone who is a professional, who has gone for marketing or whatever, they speak about the impression you give. it tells about what discernment you have of the event. Someone who is going to apply for a job as in a big bank, he won't dress, he won't put on a t-shirt and a torn-up jeans. Amen. But for some other jobs, it's fine. You can put on your t-shirt and go to Silicon Valley. It's okay. It's perfect because it's IT. But the circumstance determine what kind of appearance you need to have. And it shows what, you know, how you show respect to the person. You young boys, you young men, ask yourself, those trousers you put on to come to church, will you wear them when you go to meet, you have an appointment with the president of the U.S.? Amen. They are just some kind of trousers you see. You say, oh, is this a believer? Very tight there. And come on. Come on. That same trouser you are wearing to come to church, will you wear it to go and meet, you know, for a job interview? You'll put on a very nice and relaxed one that doesn't show the shape of your body. But why, when it is to coming to church, you'll put on that kind of trousers? Because when we talk about dressing, most of the time we focus on sisters. And even when I spoke about dressing here, some sisters may have said, oh, it's us again today. It will come. But for now, it's everybody. It's every one of us. Just imagine, you come to church and the pastor comes in a, you know, t-shirt and his whatever, folded up sleeves and any kind of trouser. The deacons are there with Los Angeles heels or whatever, written there, sitting there, all the deacons. Will you feel really welcome the church? When you come, you are expecting to see the pastor standing there in his suit, the deacons on their position, well-dressed, and you feel that you are in church. But what about you? Why are you presenting yourself in that kind of clothing in church? You need to give respect, and it's part of the discernment you are showing to the body of the Lord. You may wonder why things are not working. It's just the way you present yourself before the Lord. Remember, in the Bible, there was a certain dress code. There was a certain way of people to dress. When they look, they say, this is a prostitute. In the Bible, virgins used to wear in a certain way. Married women used to dress in a certain way. You didn't have to tell. When you see, you say, oh, this is a whore. Just go and read the episode between Judah and Tamar. Amen? In Genesis 38, I think. Tamar, when she wanted to seduce Judah, she dressed in a certain way. Before, she was dressing as a widow. And anyone could see that this is a widowed woman. But that day, since she had that motive of obtaining something from the minister, amen. Remember, Judah was a prophet. Judah was a minister, was a patriarch. She wanted to obtain something. She wanted to exploit a weakness in the minister. She dressed in a certain way. And she came and she presented herself in a certain way, and it made the man of God to fall. Amen. So, you know, in the world they say, you are what you wear. Amen. That's science. They say, you are what you wear. From your appearance, people can say many things about you, even things, stages you are going through in your life. You'll see a woman, she was dressing correctly, decently, and everything. But after a certain stage, you start noticing
She started dressing, you know, in a neglected way, or showing some shapes, and go and people can say, this woman must have some issues in her marriage. Amen. We have seen it. It's something you don't need to tell everything, but just when people notice that change in your dress code, maybe there's a new boy at workplace. This is something, it's experience. It's scientific studies. They've put, you know, in an environment where there were only women and women working at a workplace, they look how they dress. And they put a man, they introduce a man in that team, they notice that their dress code have changed. Because they want, when they were only women, that there was not too much attention on their dress, but they want to impress the boy. They want to impress the men. Look at what the science says. Unclothed cognition, it's a science, yeah? Give scientific proof to the idea that people dress not according to how they feel, but to how they want to feel. Amen. Which clothes make you feel powerful? Sexy. Control. Someone wants to have control of the situation. So they'll put on high heels. Amen. They want to appear authoritarian. They want to take control of the situation. They'll come there and with a, they say, if I put on a skirt, I'll look too woman. That's me. Let me just put on a trouser, high heels, and then you are conveying a message. And they say here, you want to look in control or you want to look wealthy. The clothes you choose are sending a message to those around you, but also to you yourself. So when we come to church, just examine the way you are dressed. What message are you conveying? What are you trying to, you know, to produce? What effects are you trying to imply in the people around you? Because the way you are dressed, it may even impact the whole service. Remember Tamar. She came dressed in a way that would, you know, attract the man of God. Just be careful. Amen. I think these things need to be said. The prophet says, just to close that chapter, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Amen. We don't want to go into more details. I know in general, as a general rule, in our church, we dress correctly. Amen. Brothers, sisters, we dress correctly. But just as a matter of reminding, a reminder to ourselves, just go, examine yourself. Is there anything that may be, just have the right discernment. What are you trying to convey as a message? What influence, what kind of effect your appearance will make on the service as a whole? When you want to sing, you are planning to sing a special, your young brother, a special, and you want to put on that very tight t-shirt there with your six-pack. What kind of a message are you trying to convey? Sister, you are planning to sing. Examine your dress. Because it may influence the whole service. It may have an impact on people feel for the rest of the service. So just be careful on these things because it's lack of discernment. The prophet says, oh, it's a terrible day that we are living in, discerning the Lord's body. In our churches and among our church people today, it's such a shame the way our women are acting. Many of them wearing immoral clothes. Those little shorts, it's so sinful. A woman that dresses herself like that, she's going to be guilty of adultery at the day of judgment. You might be as pure as a lily to your husband or boyfriend, but Jesus says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in her heart, in his heart. So you might know her, you might not have done anything wrong actually, but when you dressed yourself like that, you presented yourself to the man, he is going to have to answer for committing adultery, and you had the blame. And the prophet says to conclude that, and the church is permitting that, not discerning the Lord's body. You get it? Because you may think discerning the Lord's body is only in the other things we have spoken about. No, even in your dress, it's lack of discernment to the Lord's body. And the things Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, that for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Even because of your dressing code, you are not dressing correctly when coming to church, you may get a judgment because you are not discerning the Lord's body. You may get sick. You may get weak, and many are sleeping. Many are dead just because you didn't dress correctly when coming to the meeting God. Because the prophet says that's a lack of discernment of the Lord's body. Amen. So I wanted to emphasize on that as well before we move to another chapter. Another one I want to speak about, because we are closing today, so you'll allow me to pick a few things here and there and some closing remarks. It's about the consideration we give to the word itself. Because when we speak about discerning the Lord's body, we are talking about bread and wine, but the true bread and the true wine that we partake of is the word of God. Amen. So how much respect do you show to the word itself? I want to speak about the written word. Amen. I want to talk about the written word, the Bible. Just look at your Bible, in what state it is. You'll see people very, nice, smart looking, very nice clothes and brand new ones. Fashion, brand. But look at the Bible. Since they believed in 1998, it's that very same Bible they still have till today. Pages are yellowish now, you know. Let's go to church. And they remember about the Bible only when it's time to go to church. It's a shame to us believers. What example are we showing to our children? We buy them nice clothes, nice shoes, nice iPads, nice telephone, the most expensive ones. But what about the Bible? Amen. It's lack of discernment to the word of God. It's lack of discernment. If we come into your house, where will we find your Bible? Some of us, you find it by the fireplace there. Thrown that down there. Dusty. Amen. These church age books that we have distributed recently, it's the word of God, the message books. In what condition are they in your house? Because you're getting them freely. I've blamed my children recently, strongly, because they took each one church age. And after 2 days, I was seeing them everywhere in the house. I took them away. People are making great sacrifice. I've worked myself somewhere where we were printing the message. Where I came from the Congo, we were printing the message. I know how hard it is a job. It's a very hard job. People are there, sisters and brothers. Sometimes, they didn't eat since morning. They walked kilometers on foot to come and do some, you know, verification. Because after printing, it's what we call quality control. They need to quality verify that it's according to the norm. And those people are voluntary. They volunteer to do that job. They are not paid. And they sit there for days and days. You see piles of books. They are there checking every page. The ink, is it okay? The quality, is there? And there are people who are there just to review, to read, to proofread. Days and nights they are there. And when you get that book, you are playing with it. You know how much it costs. Sometimes when you get it for free, you believe, you think it's something that just came out of a tree. It costs money. I've seen machines they use. I've worked on those machines to produce. They are expensive machines. Some of those machines are the same they use in banks to produce money. Just to make you an idea, to give you an idea. They use some of those machines in the banks, in, you know, places where they print currencies, our notes. They are expensive, very expensive machines. But people are sacrificing, giving to get you, to help you get those booklets, those church ages. And in what conditions are they in your house? What respect are you giving to them? You need, when you get it, go on your knees and thank God. Because you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. It's a labor. It's a sacrifice. People that earn less than $1 a day, they pay their tithes. They give donations so that this book can be produced. My brother, we are rich here. I've been in these places. I know what I'm talking about. So let's be reverent. Let's be reverent. When they offer you a Bible, treat it as the word of God. You wouldn't let your iPad down there. You know, people give too much attention to their phone. Hey, where's my phone? Where's my phone? But the Bible. Let just someone forget his Bible in church. We've seen many Bibles here abandoned in church. Abandoned. But I remember one day, because there was someone, I think I was the one living closest to church or whatever. I was the only one with the key. A sister forgot her phone in church. I was working down there in Blanchardstown. I had to take a time off because the noise was too much. Brother, my phone. Brother, my phone, brother. I had to take a time off work, drive here, come and get the phone, go back to work, and the sister took a taxi from where she lives, found me to my workplace to get her phone. But people forget Bibles here for months and months. You start asking, whose Bible is this? I still have some here, I think. Lack of discernment of the body of the Lord. You know, to close this teaching, it was about discerning the body of the Lord. Some of us think discerning the body of the Lord is only the day of communion, when you come to eat the bread and drink the wine. That's part of discerning. But in many things that we neglect in our lives, we lack discernment of the body of the Lord. And Jesus, Paul said, many are sick. Because of that, you'll attract condemnation on yourself. Why? Because you didn't discern the body of the Lord. We spoke about coming late to church. Is lack of respect to the word of God. Is lack of respect to the ministry. Because in this world event, you wouldn't attend an event where the Queen of England is attending, coming after the Queen. It's lack of respect. And how much more the King of Kings. So coming late to church is lack of discernment of the body of the Lord. And for that reason, many are sick and many are asleep. Amen. We spoke about respecting men of God. We spoke about many other aspects of discerning, reverence to the move of the Spirit. If you don't understand something that's going on, keep quiet. That's better for you. We have read where the prophet showed that someone, because of lack of discernment, he was not even a believer, but God was trying to win a soul to Christ. That man came and spoke anyhow. He was struck the same day. His son-in-law with his big Chevrolet drove on him. And he was dead just because he didn't discern the body of the Lord. Tell to your family members, even those who are not believers, not to play with the things of God. To be respectful. You young boys, young girls who are going, those children that mocked the prophet Elisha, lack of discernment of the body of the Lord. They were eaten by two she-bears. When you come to the house of Lord, be reverent. Your telephone switched off. Don't chat. Don't zap. I don't know how you call it, those expressions. But Brother Maxwell called it Twister. Twitter, yeah. So just let's observe these things. And we'll see how the Lord will bless us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come to the end of this teaching. And we believe that you will help your children, you will help us to be better Christians, to be better ministers, to be better in every position you have blessed us, O Lord. Commit your people into your hands. They've listened carefully. Bless them for listening. Bless them for being in your house, O Lord. And we commit the rest of the service into your hands. Once again, bless Brother Andrew down there in Limerick. Let your anointing, let the Holy Spirit really speak to the people there and bring your people to see the evening light, and so that their souls be saved, O Lord. Take control now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.